Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on Fine Music Radio, your calm in the chaos of markets and boardrooms and the ever-expanding alphabet soup of acronyms. Tonight, we're diving into the just-released South African Customer Experience Report for 2025. It's the seventh edition of what's become a benchmark for how brands are treating or mistreating their customers. And I think there's a delicious irony here, because as things like artificial intelligence and automation and all of the digital tools race ahead, South African consumers are saying very loudly, very clearly, we still want to deal with humans. In fact, a whopping 93% of customers say it's crucial that brands understand their needs and their emotions. I think businesses that forget that ignore it at their peril. To unpack the findings, I'm joined by Amanda Rieke of Over to You, one of the report's authors. Amanda, great to have you with us. It's the seventh edition of this customer experience report. Before we get into the insights, just give us a sense of how this body of work has evolved into this benchmark for South African business leaders over the years.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because we were sitting as authors just before we had to present the findings to a big group of CX professionals. And we were saying that in the beginning, we were really looking at things like, you know, cart abandonment and frustrations with the techie side of it. And in the course of the last 7 years, things have shifted. I mean, we've had focus on, you know, the delivery as an area of opportunity to delight and all kinds of different things. But this one was quite different, and maybe we asked slightly different questions this year. But one of the big things that it exposed is that, to an extent, the market has upped its game from a digital perspective. And if you think about the likes of a 60/60 or Take a Lot, how much their customer experience has improved and how they've, you know, buttoned down their delivery and all that kind of stuff. And I'm talking retail, but, yeah, you know, it generalizes across all industries that actually digitally people have upped their game. But what our research says quite loudly is that when there's a problem, people go to, you know, we ask them about resolution. What do you do when you want something resolved?
Yeah.
And it really is human channels, yeah, that
don't,
are resolving
don't
it.
Don't give us a chatbot.
Yes, it really is human channels. And then another key point of data, and this for me is a big one, is that we ask them about their worst experiences and which channel they happened in, and we ask them about their best experiences and which channel they happened in. And actually, really, the opportunity to irritate people and to delight them happens mostly in real world or people-backed channels. So, you know, I think as things get more slick and AI helps that picture, people will, you know, they're only really going there to either be treated wonderfully or to solve a problem. So you better have a human there,
yeah,
who understands their role in that, you know, in the whole end-to-end customer experience.
Very rich insight that, because, you know, the report shows that obviously e-commerce is becoming more mainstream and we're much more comfortable shopping online, but South Africans still love their mall time. You've got to look around the place. There's so many of them, and those physical stores really have got to be flagship showrooms, as you call them in the report, where we go to be delighted, as you say, or resolve those queries. But I want to touch on the big theme, which is bothism, which is quite interesting,
yes,
a blending tech and humanity in CX. Why is this balance becoming so central now?
Well, I think, you know, we would be silly to say, you know, abandon your efforts to streamline your digital experience. And that's not what the data is saying. People are, we've seen in past reports, people self-serve first. You know, in most categories, actually across, you know, all incomes, people are mostly self-serving for large parts of their journey. You know, they're doing their research online, they're, you know, doing some parts of things online, and, you know, some going on to shop. But if things go wrong, they want humans. And also for other, you know, to experience products. I mean, Lego is a brilliant example where, you know, they've understood that to get people really on board with your brand, you actually need them to have an experience around your brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to create that experience, whatever category you're in.
It's that customer centricity. And who was it? I think Jeff Bezos of Amazon, who really made that front and center and core. And I'm not saying that Amazon is perfect, but really when it comes to customer centricity, there's a reason that it's obviously cited. Lego is a great example as well. The report warns about the empathy gap, though, which is quite interesting, that businesses chasing efficiency trophies, while customers, as you say, want to feel heard, want to feel like their voice matters. How do you see brands bridging this divide in practice?
Well, I think one of the things is to actually program delight into your... So I think in the report, we've been sort of talking so much about ironing out the kinks that you've almost got to a point where, you know, the kinks are largely sorted out in a lot of these, you know, retail experiences and a lot of banking experiences. But where's the delight? Where's the love? Where's the opportunity to differentiate? Because there's a lot of sameness going on. So how do you connect and make your experience considerably better? And, you know, that's not always going to be humans, but I think that humans have a large part to play in that. Delight factor.
Yeah. And, you know, the value is obvious when you look at one of the more sobering insights is that it costs 6 to 7 times more to acquire a new customer than to keep one. So, you know, it just makes sense. If you've invested all of that capital, all that effort and time to finally attract a customer, you want to delight them. You want to be keeping them. And that really comes down to really being, you know, attentive to the detail and the little things. Yet I think so many companies still undervalue loyalty basics like keeping promises. Why do you think businesses get this element wrong?
It's one of my favorite insights in the, and we've used the same question a few years in a row, but this notion of keeping promises is so important to consumers because effectively a promise is a little, a brand promise is a little mini contract. You get a chance to say, okay, that's what I'm advertising for that price. Do you take it or leave it? And then when the product at that value doesn't deliver, that's a broken promise and it erodes trust. And it and businesses tend to, in our little survey that we did in parallel with businesses, they tend to underrate that versus consumers. They don't cite that as being as important. So they will say things like, you know, brand values, which is quite a sort of esoteric notion, rather than just keep your promise, do what you say you're going to do. So, yeah, I think that's a big, big part of it. Just simply sticking to what you said you're going to do.
And I mean, there are lots of types of us who go out shopping, and you've spotted the emergence of a new category here, the super duper shopper. I love that. Affluent, digitally fluent, highly influential. How are they setting the bar for everyone else?
I mean, they're richer, so that's part of the reason they're shopping more. But the very interesting thing about them is that they shop more online and they really massively over-index in terms of having shopped very recently online. But what the most extraordinary stat with them is that in every single dimension barring one, they also over-index in all of the using stores. So they use stores more than the rest of the bank of consumers. So it's not as if they're not shopping in store.
Right.
They're just shopping a lot online. And it's actually interesting the things that they, you know, that they're using stores for. And it's things like, you know, part of it is the immediacy of getting products. Part of it is about experiential, experiencing products, understanding the quality, to do quality checks, etc. So they're an interesting bunch of super shoppers, super duper shoppers.
Super duper shoppers. Love it. AI is obviously all over the place. Very interesting to see that South African consumers appear more comfortable with AI than their global peers. So with, I think, 2/3 saying in the survey that they're comfortable with brands using AI. As a consumer, me personally, there's a rise of AI cold calls that just leaves me absolutely cold. But where are you seeing this acceptance and how are brands executing on using AI in their customer journey?
I mean, I think we are. It's a weird stat, and I heard it cited at this conference that we presented our report at, which is that we're one of the top users of ChatGPT globally. I mean, literally, really one of the very outliers. So that's an interesting stat. And there is a division in that response, by the way, with a sort of higher end, older, less comfortable than the average with AI and AI interaction. But I do think we're quite digitally, you know, accepting as consumers. I mean, we've seen that in other things throughout our report. We tend to be more lenient on businesses in terms of things like data and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think coming out of this CX conference that we attended, one thing that was really clear is that the businesses, most businesses were using AI to free up people to do more important tasks. And that's what I think, you know, I think that that's the right, I mean, I'm not an AI expert, but I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
To use AI judiciously where it can accelerate and free up your staff to do the important things. And part of that is going to be servicing better.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about sort of co-pilots. So people, technology enabling call center operators to service better. You know, that kind of thing I think is very useful and a very good use of AI.
To the earlier insights in the report, if we are going to lean into that human interaction, either to be delighted or to resolve a query, you want your staff to be able to do that effectively. And if AI can free up their time to be able to deliver on those metrics, then yeah, that's the right way to use it. If you look at the winners, the big brands that were singled out, Takealot, 60/60, Capitec, and FNB, I think no surprises there. I just think looking at that list, they really are digital leaders. I, as a personal kind of aside, use all of those brands an awful lot. And I've seen specifically Takealot really improve on its CX recently. But broadly, what are they doing right that others can learn from?
I mean, I think it is that customer orientation. They are very focused on the customer and what they need. And I mean, I think there were some examples cited of how, you know, 60/60 proactively messages you, and all of it's around you.
Yeah.
Whereas I think businesses that are, you know, sort of very, and I think that's the danger with the tech, is that you can't build tech for tech's sake. You've got to build it to meet a client, you know, a customer need and to solve their problems. And I think that's what those four front runners all do quite nicely.
Yeah, that was Amanda Reiki of Over to You, co-author of the 2025 South African Customer Experience, the CX Report. Timely reminder that what do we want? Customer loyalty is still won the old-fashioned way, by keeping promises, by showing a bit of empathy, and by treating people like, well, people. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.